You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because I want to walk down old roads and caress stone walls the color of my skin. That's the opening short stanza to one poem I will soon read in its entirety. We're familiar with the daily news reports about Gaza, the number of children killed, the intentional destruction of hospitals, widespread starvation forced upon its citizens. Particularly since October 2023, these almost incomprehensible facts, so much emotional weight implied with the statistics. The U.S. government shifts from full-throated support of Israel's vicious campaign of aggression to a passive and dishonest apathy with claims that the U.S. government is not responsible for what occurs in Gaza. Even nonviolent protesters of the treatment of Gaza's citizens provoke retribution in our country. I'm not telling listeners of KMUN anything new. Our first poet asserts that with the exception of a minority of Americans who have traveled in the Middle East, what we know of the region derives from imagery of violence, especially news coverage of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, Syria, Gaza, and Iran. Most of us experience selective seeing, and for KMUN listeners, selective hearing. But I do hope the poems I will read today offer glimpses of what it's like to try to enter and exit Mideastern countries, especially Palestine. They give us some texture of life there, even before the most recent spasm of violence that ripped it apart in October 2023. This is Poems for Company. I'm your host, Brian Dillon, and thank you for joining me to consider these verbal glimpses. Our title for today's episode, Exile and Return. Lina Khalaf Tufaha's 2017 volume, Water in Salt, opens with the poem, Upon Arrival. The speaker offers advice to someone preparing to enter an unnamed foreign zone, advice regarding what should not be declared when going through checkpoints. The heritage of the poet, Lina Khalaf Tufaha, is Palestinian, Jordanian, and Syrian. It's intriguing that in the poem I will read, the country to be entered is not specifically identified. We may presume it represents a variety of Mideastern countries. This is Lina Khalaf Tufaha's Upon Arrival. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because I want to walk down old roads and caress stone walls the color of my skin. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because the olives are ready for harvest, and I will coax the fruit from the trees, press it into liquid gold. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because my parents' house still sits empty on a bluff overlooking the sea. The green shutters my grandfather had just painted remain sealed shut, and the army listed the property's owners as absentees. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because I am carrying prayers in my suitcase for a people who wait, and I'll unfold them, embroidered linens of verse, and spread them out across the land. Four stanzas, each set up with the same opening line. You will need to state the reason for your visit. We may imagine the speaker addresses an American born to Palestinian parents and eager to enter the country beloved by these parents and even grandparents. Maybe this is the first time this individual, the you of the poem, is taking such a trip. The second line of each of the four stanzas begins with the same words. Don't say, because, and then the font shifts to italics, as the because clause continues with the poetically phrased warning the speaker issues. Essentially, the advice is, don't get carried away by your emotions. Don't wax poetic, as this poem certainly does. The four sentences that begin with "don't say" and continue with the Because Cause reference a landscape of old roads, olive trees, the speaker's parents' house, as well as prayers for those living in the land to be visited. These Because Causes that should not be spoken would defy the expectations of the security personnel who determine which visitors might enter the foreign zone. Don't mess with the expectations of the security personnel by revealing your emotional link to the land. And especially, don't reveal an intimate family connection to this land. Let's hear Lena Khalaf Tufaha's Upon Arrival again. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because I want to walk down old roads and caress stone walls the color of my skin. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because the olives are ready for harvest and I will coax the fruit from the trees, press it into liquid gold. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because my parents' house still sits empty on a bluff overlooking the sea. The green shutters my grandfather had just painted remain sealed shut, and the army listed the property's owners as absentees. You will need to state the reason for your visit. Don't say, because I am carrying prayers in my suitcase for a people who wait, and I'll unfold them, embroidered linens of verse, and spread them out across the land. No concluding verse recommends what conventional response might avoid raising alarms, might even guarantee entrance at this border crossing. This is a poem, not an instruction manual. The poet settled in the Seattle area, and her volume, Water and Salt, won a 2018 Washington State Book Award for Poetry. In this same volume, another poem written by Lena Khalaf Tufaha adopts a child's thoughts when leaving Amman, Jordan. Her destination? The United States. She leaves behind a beloved landscape, familiar childhood activities, and neighbors she anticipates will soon become refugees. The child is not standing in a long line of refugees, but sitting in the back seat of her uncle's car, headed for the airport. This is Lena Khalaf Tufaha's Immigrant. I am not buckled safely into my seat. I am watching the road unravel behind us like a ribbon of dust. Through the back seat of my uncle's Datsun, Amman looks like a tender little place the color of my teddy bear's fur. Its houses, crowded into one another on its seven parched hills, are the shades of my family's skin, almond of my mother's brow, wheat of my father's arms, tea with cream of my grandmother's palms. We are driving away on the only road to the airport. We are driving away from this dollhouse town and my storybook childhood of tree climbing and laughter of too many cousins to count. We are driving away from impending war. We are driving away because we can leave on the magic carpet of our navy blue U.S. passports that carry us to safety and no bomb drills, to the place where the planes are made, and the place where the president will make the call to send the planes into my storybook childhood over the Seven Hills, next door to neighbors who will now become refugees. We are driving, and I am not safe driving away from myself and everything I know into the great miracle of a country so large wars are kept thousands of miles at bay. My young life is coming undone on the road behind me, where I know all the names of the trees in Arabic. Ruman, Saru, Zizifoon, and I know the spot on each hilltop where the crimson poppies return every spring, and I know the best bakery to line up for Ramadan pancakes before breaking the fast. In the back seat of my uncle's Datsun, I want to float through the window and into yesterday, when August was just late afternoon ice cream and late night card games and the crinkle of brown paper and tape covering copybooks, fresh as this morning's bread, ready to receive the school year ahead, math equations, poems, histories of battle. There was comfort playing with her extended family members, too many cousins to count. Now the speaker's uncle's Datsun takes her away from herself and everything she knows. The final lines suggest it's the end of August, and this young speaker soon will start school, and there she expects some familiar challenges await her, math equations, poems, histories of battle. She also weaves what seems to be an adult's thoughts into this account of her ride to the airport. Her immediate family is distinguished from her cousins and other family members and neighbors by virtue of their navy blue U.S. passports. These passports allow her to enter the country that makes the planes that carry the bombs she fears will fall on this land she loves. The child the poem depicts may be especially precocious when she imagines the United States. She wonders if the president will make that call. Yes, the speaker could be remarkably precocious, or she could be weaving together childhood emotions with adult fears. Her sadness over leaving and her fears of what might happen to the people and the land she loves quietly upset her. She has no say in these matters. She's in the back seat. Again, this is Lina Khalaf Dufaha's Immigrant. I am not buckled safely into my seat. I am watching the road unravel behind us like a ribbon of dust. Through the back seat of my uncle's Datsun, Amman looks like a tender little place the color of my teddy bear's fur. Its houses crowded into one another on its seven parched hills are the shades of my family's skin, almond of my mother's brow, wheat of my father's arms, tea with cream of my grandmother's palms. We are driving away on the only road to the airport. We are driving away from this dollhouse town in my storybook childhood of tree climbing and laughter of too many cousins to count. We are driving away from impending war. We are driving away because we can leave on the magic carpet of our navy blue U.S. passports that carry us to safety and no bomb drills. To the place where the planes are made, and the place where the president will make the call to send the planes into my storybook childhood, over the seven hills, next door to neighbors who will now become refugees. We are driving, and I am not safe, driving away from myself and everything I know into the great miracle of a country so large. Wars are kept thousands of miles at bay. My young life is coming undone on the road behind me, where I know all the names of the trees in Arabic, Ruman, Saru, Zizifoon, and I know the spot on each hilltop where the crimson poppies return every spring. And I know the best bakery to line up for Ramadan pancakes before breaking the fast. In the back seat of my uncle's Datsun, I want to float through the window and into yesterday, when August was just late afternoon ice cream and late night card games and the crinkle of brown paper and tape covering copybooks, fresh as this morning's bread, ready to receive the school year ahead. Math equations, poems, histories of battle. Tufaha emphasizes the colors the child sees outside her Datsun window, and even names the trees in Arabic. Ruman, Saru, Zaizafun, which translate as pomegranate, cypress, and olive. It's true, sometimes simply naming features of a lost landscape helps our memory to call up those features in an emotionally provocative way. Today, I avoided poems pushing a specific argument. I also avoided poems intent on shocking the audience with graphic depictions of the blood of harmless individuals who, like the speaker of our last poem, loved their land and their family and their neighbors who lived there. I'm more focused on unusual avenues some writers travel down, especially when they return with insights I never would have considered. Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear is the title poem from Musab Abu Toha's 2022 volume. Under the title, it says, quotes, "For Alicia M. Kesnell, M.D." The poem is divided into two sections. Both sections issue gentle directions to Dr. Alicia M. Kesnell. Both imply she has treated the poem's speaker, perhaps Musab Abu Toha himself. I will read this 2022 poem before I share any further biographical information about the young poet. This is Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear. For Alicia M. Kesnell, M.D. When you open my ear, touch it gently. My mother's voice lingers somewhere inside. Her voice is the echo that helps recover my equilibrium when I feel dizzy during my attentiveness. You may encounter songs in Arabic, poems in English I recite to myself, or a song I chant to the chirping birds in our backyard. When you stitch the cut, don't forget to put all these back in my ear. Put them back in order, as you would do with books on your shelf. The drone's buzzing sound, the roar of an F-16, the screams of bombs falling on houses, on fields, and on bodies, of rockets flying away, rid my small ear canal of them all. Spray the perfume of your smiles on the incision. Inject the song of life into my veins to wake me up. Gently beat the drum so my mind may dance with yours, my doctor, day and night. Both sections include a list. First, his mother's voice, Arabic songs, some English poems, and in a reversal of roles, songs he shares with his backyard birds. Second, a drone, an F-16, bombs and rockets. What he values, what he wants to continue to hear, and the sounds he wants to be rid of. The poem's premise? His doctor's a miracle worker who may restore the sounds he loves and erase the sounds he wishes he never heard. He pays tribute to young Dr. Kesnell, an assistant professor at Harvard whose clinical practice focuses on, among numerous medical matters, chronic ear diseases. The generous praise offered to her indicates the poet must be thankful she completed her residency at Harvard, which has been one of the main institutions the current administration has tried to deny research funds. Musab Abu Toha is deeply appreciative that Dr. Kesnell operated professionally with such intelligence, perseverance, and empathy. The final four lines request this doctor far exceed what she can do. These lines imply she's a role model for the speaker, someone more than a skilled doctor, but also a skilled healer whom he wishes to emulate. He projects his ideals on her. Let's be alert to these final four lines as I reread the poem. This is Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear. For Alicia M. Kesno, M.D. When you open my ear, touch it gently. My mother's voice lingers somewhere inside. Her voice is the echo that helps recover my equilibrium when I feel dizzy during my attentiveness. You may encounter songs in Arabic, poems in English I recite to myself, or a song I chant to the chirping birds in our backyard. When you stitch the cut, don't forget to put all these back in my ear. Put them back in order, as you would do with books on your shelf. The drone's buzzing sound, the roar of an F-16, the screams of bombs falling on houses, on fields, and on bodies, of rockets flying away, rid my small ear canal of them all. Spray the perfume of your smiles on the incision. Inject the song of life into my veins to wake me up. Gently beat the drum so my mind may dance with yours, my doctor, day and night. If he simply said his mother's voice lingers in his ear, we'd understand that. But his description carries him beyond this simple thought. Quotes, her voice is the echo that helps recover my equilibrium when I feel dizzy during my attentiveness, end quotes. Why does his emotional equilibrium seem shaky, provoke dizziness? Does that occur only when he's attentive to his immediate circumstances in Gaza? What a compliment to claim the echo of his mother's voice restores him profoundly. This 2022 volume includes an interview with the poet Mossab Abu Toha. He says, quotes, I was born in 1992 in a refugee camp called Al-Shati Camp, which means beach camp, to the west of Gaza City. My father was born in the same camp, and my mother was born in Jabalia, the largest refugee camp in Gaza and in the world. We lived in Al-Shati, the third largest of the Gaza Strip's camps, until I was 9, end quotes. Mossab Abu Toha certainly did not think this camp background was unusual. Both his parents were born in camps, and as a boy, it was the only world he knew. In his interview, he also notes, quotes, I never realized I was born in a refugee camp because that was just my world. I mean, a fish doesn't ask, why don't we walk on the street and go shopping? A fish doesn't ask its mother why a shark is running after them. What does it want? Why does it want to eat us? A fish doesn't ask, okay, mother, why is it not us who go after the shark? I mean, these existential questions are not asked, and I don't know why. I'm not even sure how we do come to comprehend these huge issues. End quotes. Another poem by Mossab Abu Toha serves as a kind of companion piece to Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear. I will read the poem without further introduction. This is Mossab Abu Toha's Forever Homeless. Before my long travel, I packed my suitcases, stuffed them with some sand from our land, some scent from my mother's kitchen, and sounds of birds in the morning. And in my pockets, I put the four directions. My hands are the compass. At the airport, I begged the officer not to open the suitcases, and, if needed, to touch my clothes gently. Otherwise, I would be standing on nothing, surrounded by nothing, see nothing. I would be weightless and forever homeless. This even carries echoes of the poems I read by Lena Khalaf Tufaha, with its reference to border crossings, custom agents, and uncertainty about where home is and how much of home we carry with us when we travel out of the country. The things these threshold crossers carry: sand, scents from a mother's kitchen, bird sounds from their homeland, delicate and personal. A fantasy wish is expressed that the speaker's suitcase not be opened for fear the speaker will become unmoored in place and time. Again, forever homeless. Before my long travel, I pack my suitcases, stuff them with some sand from our land, some scent from my mother's kitchen, and sounds of birds in the morning. And in my pockets, I put the four directions. My hands are the compass. At the airport, I beg the officer not to open the suitcases and, if needed, to touch my clothes gently. Otherwise, I would be standing on nothing, surrounded by nothing, see nothing. I would be weightless and forever homeless. Exile and return. Border crossings, where others question the speaker's identity and the speaker must examine what he or she values most. The names of the poets read on today's episode challenge my pronunciation skills. Anticipating Americans would be troubled by his name, our second poet titled one of his short works with his first name, Musab. He wrote, quotes, "My father gave me a difficult name," end quotes, not knowing that years later his English-speaking friends would repeatedly ask him to pronounce it, quotes, "or try to avoid saying it," end quotes. Well, don't depend on my voice, my pronunciation skills. KMUN's podcast page identifies the poets and books I have relied on for this and every episode, and the poets' names are spelled correctly there. Please check it out. Our theme music is Philip Ahlberg's Going to the Sun from his CD Live from Montana, available at sweetgrassmusic.com. Thanks for listening to Poems for Company.